This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
When Doc Robinson made his decision to play college hoops at Auburn, it was big news. The top point guard in the state of Alabama was coming to the Plains. Out of Selma, Robinson became an All-American. He was the starting point guard on the 1999 SEC regular season championship team that went 29-4. In 2002, Doc received his degree in adult education. Doc was part of the home court series featuring his former teammate and current assistant coach Wes Flanagan with the help of Cody Voga. In the interview, he talked about a health scare that nearly claimed his life. That conversation is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. We welcome in one of Auburn's all-time greats. Doc Robinson joins us today. Of course, came to Auburn from Selma, highly recruited out of high school, part of an SEC championship team back in 1999. And Doc, it's good to have you with us. Give us an update. Where are you now?
I'm in Roswell, Georgia right now. Just working, doing transportation. Everything's going pretty good right now. Trying to stay out of the way from this COVID virus. And now everything's going well.
Man, I got to get with Tracy, man, so we can get you some gear, man, so you can represent up there in Atlanta for us, man. That's kind of our hot recruiting.
I know, right? You know, I'm still rocking the old school shirt.
You know, a couple of years back, man, me and you talked, and I kind of got wind of it, man. But talk to the Auburn fan base, man. I know you had a scare with your health a few years ago, man. Take us through that moment, man, and, you know, some of the things that kind of helped you get through that, man, and how do you feel today, man, after going through that?
That was, about 5 years ago, 2015. I had a tear in my esophagus, and everything that I was eating, drinking, was draining in my lung, and my right lung collapsed. They end up removing my right lung. End up having like pneumonia and infection. And after the surgery of removing the lung because of the infection, I was given like a 20% chance of living. Was in ICU probably about 20 or 30 days. By the grace of God, a lot of prayer, man, fought through it. Family was by my side. Auburn family was by my side, and I was able to make it through and here today. Body's still not the same, but hey, still standing 10 toes, man. So I'm good.
For sure. It's amazing, man, when you go through some of those moments, man, how much more, you know, you appreciate life and how much more you appreciate your friends and your family, man, through those moments. And, you know, obviously I went through my deal and, you know, again, I guess with you guys and the situation you had going on, it looks like the Auburn fan base, man, kind of stood with you also and helped you through, man. So, you know, we was concerned about it. You know, I know a few of our teammates called me and let me know, man. And we were concerned, but, man, we happy you here and still with us today, brother.
Man, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Doc, let's go back to your recruitment coming out of high school. I mean, you were one of the top guys coming out of the state of Alabama. I mean, there are a lot of folks that wanted Doc Robinson to play point guard for their school. What do you remember about that time of your life and recruitment and then that decision to come to Auburn?
It was kind of tough. I knew I wanted to stay somewhere close to home. I knew I wanted to stay for my family and my friends to be able to see me play. And I came for my recruiting visit at Auburn. It was Auburn playing Florida football. And actually, I don't know if Wes remember this, but I remember him telling me, he was like, hey, you sure you're ready for this? And I looked at him kind of weird. Like, what you mean? Like, yeah, of course I'm ready for this. Like, I'm built for this. And he was like, nah, this SEC is a whole nother level. You sure you're ready for this? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, of course. You know, go through the whole recruiting process, and I end up committing early. In the back of my mind, through the whole thing, I'm just thinking about what he says. Like, oh, yeah, I got to show him that I'm ready. he actually don't know this, but, like, every day in practice, like those were like the best battles I had for my 4 years of like going against him in practice. Like he really made me, you know, the player I was when I was at Auburn.
Man, I don't know if I made you anything, bro. You know, we was just out there, man, competing. And the thing I remember about you, Doc, is you didn't talk a lot. You know, you didn't talk a lot, just like now. You know, you going through your situation, man, with your health deal. A lot of people don't even realize you went through that. You know, you was just kind of a silent assassin, man. You kind of led by your actions. And, you know, regardless of what people say, obviously, man, everybody was excited about Chris Porter and, you know, the exciting plays he made. But, man, the guys that held that group together, man, was you and Brian Smith, man, become behind closed doors. Your leadership, man, you know, the way you never got too high, you never got too low, man. You just continued to compete, you know, with something, man, that, you know, that team needed. And, you know, it made you and that team, man, one of the best players in Auburn basketball history, bro.
I don't think you remember after my freshman year when we lost against Kentucky in the SEC. And, you know, Cliff went through his whole idea, what he do with the seniors. And I remember sitting there, I was sick through that whole SEC tournament. And I remember you walking over to me, you say, "It's yours now. Take it to another level."
Right. Right. And I knew that you would, especially with your teammates you had, man. That was a great freshman class. You know, you talk about, you know, Damon Fishbag, you talk about Mamadou Njai. And then obviously Bryant was a year ahead of you guys, man. I knew you guys were gonna be special. You guys were great teammates, man. You worked really hard and you had talent. I knew Coach Ellis, you know, could put that together, man, and help you guys be successful. So we got a great leader now, Doc, and Coach Pearl. And, you know, obviously, man, he's taking this program to new heights, you know, heights that, you know, probably, you know, a lot of people that's followed Auburn basketball throughout the years probably didn't even realize or believe we could get to.
Doc, I look over your left shoulder there and I see that I think that's an Auburn University diploma. On the shelf back there. What did that mean to you? And Wes, I've asked you the same question. I mean, you guys are part of Auburn basketball lore, but you guys are also Auburn basketball and you're Auburn graduates. But what did that mean to you, not only to play basketball at Auburn and to have the success that you did, but also to get that diploma before you left Auburn as well, Doc?
It just, to me, it means I'm an Auburn man. 4 or 5 years, I did any and everything that I could to possibly achieve that degree, and is one of the things that I do cherish.
How much did the family push you as far as the classroom was concerned? I mean, you came here to play basketball, no question, but I've got to think that family was also talking to you about what you were doing grades-wise and getting your academic work done as well.
Yeah, of course. Mom and Dad, that was the number one key. That was all they were focused on in the recruitment process. Hey, where are you going to be able to go? Where are you going to be able to get your degree from? And regardless of what was going on the floor with Mom and Dad, it was always what's going on in that classroom first.
Doc, Wes talked about some of the guys that you played with, Brian Smith and Mamadou Njai and Damian Fishback. When did you have an idea that this class, this group of guys, and then, of course, you add Chris Porter to that list. When did you have an idea that this was going to be a special group of basketball players at Auburn?
I think it was around the summer after our freshman year. That summer, I kind of realized that we had something that we could build on and something that could be special. It was just for the simple fact that everybody was gym rats. We wanted to get in the gym and we wanted to play. We wanted to get better each day. So we just pretty much pushed each other.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama. Wes, I was going back and doing some editing for a podcast that features Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, and they just said the exact same thing that Doc talked about. Those guys were gym rats. They spent tons of time in the gym outside the practice. So, I mean, that there's some comparisons between that group back in the late 90s and this team a couple years, you know, a couple 20 years later that went to the Final Four.
Well, that's an interesting topic that you lead us to, Andy, all right, because I got to put Doc on the spot right now. You know, there's been a lot of great teams, and obviously you talk about the work ethic. You talk about guys being gym rats. You know, Doc knows this. I know this. You know, some of the greatest teams I've been a part of, whether it be a player, whether it be a coach, you know, those guys just simply love the game of basketball. You know, it's not one of those deals where they play basketball, you know, because of, you know, the fame, because of, you know, maybe the money that they may, you know, come into once their, you know, once their college careers was over, man. They simply love basketball and they play with that energy and that passion. And so coming back here, man, being a part of that Final Four team, Doc, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, what it felt like to you sitting at home, you know, watching us, you know, compete against Virginia, making the first Final Four in school history under Coach Pearl. And then I got to put you on the spot and ask you, who is the best team, man? Because, you know, I argue with Jared and I argue with Bryce and some of those guys about, you know, the 99 team, which they have no idea how good you guys were. And so Jared will probably be watching this, man. And he got a little syndrome to him now. And so I want him to hear you say, you know, in your opinion, who the best team was.
Yeah, I forgot your first question. I just jumped all the way to the best team. But, yeah, we definitely were the best team.
Now, when you see Jared down in Atlanta, now you gotta walk right up to him, man, and tell him now. Yeah, I got tired of defending.
Oh, most definitely. I'm saying, I love that team. I love the style that they play with. I love the way they play. I love how hard they play. That Final Four team, like, they don't understand. Like, my chest was out, like, as if I was on their plane. That's how proud I was of them.
For sure.
But when it came down to it, they team compared to our team, they don't want to see us. And I love them to death, all of them. But they don't want to see us. Yeah, they don't want to see us.
It's a hard question, man. It's a tough question. And, you know, I was around both teams, you know, as a coach. Obviously, I was a GA with you guys. But, man, it was just so many weapons on both teams, led by two great head coaches, two Hall of Fame coaches. You know, and I'm just telling you, man, like, when you look at, you know, what you guys did, and then obviously you go to Jared and Bryce and that group and what they did, man, hopefully, you know, me and the rest of the staff and the rest of those guys in that locker room, man, just can continue to make our fan base happy like you guys did, like Jared and those guys did, man, and continue to take this thing to another level. But, man, your contributions, Doc, man, to this program, man, and to this state, especially stepping up, man, as an Alabama kid, is one of the, you know, top guards in the country, man. That was huge. And in the future, you know, we'll have some other top kids in this state. And hopefully, man, they'll take your lead, take your example, man, and they'll want to put that uniform on.
I believe they will. I believe they will. I believe y'all got the program going in the right direction. You know, look, my whole purpose was trying to make Auburn a basketball school, and I don't know if we will ever get there, but I believe that y'all are on the right direction.
Doc, we had Chris Porter on not too long ago, and of course we asked him about the rebound dunk that he had against LSU. There's also another play that season that you're part of. I think it's the day that Auburn clinched the SEC regular season championship. But it's almost a half-court alley-oop from you to Bryant Smith, and he does a reverse dunk on that. And I mean, the place went nuts. And Jim Fife, legendary Jim Fife, is doing play-by-play, and Joe Dean is doing the color, and Joe almost can't talk. He's so excited about that play. Do you recall the play that I'm talking about?
I do. I do recall that play. I think it was Ole Miss, right?
It definitely was Ole Miss, man, because my brother was on the team, and I remind him of that every time I see him, Doc. it was like a 40-point butt whooping. I wish I could say another word, man.
Yeah.
That was a total.
Take us through the play, Doc. Do you remember take us through that play?
I remember the shot going up from the corner, and Brian, he contested the shot, and I can't remember who shot it, but they missed, And I can, once they missed the shot, I seen Brian leaking from the sideline after he contested. And now we end up getting the rebound, and they outlet it to me. And the one thing, we normally would run all the guards on the wing, but for some reason, I don't know why, he just decided once he got at the 5 second line that he just took off toward the rim. I actually threw it short. I wanted to throw it higher than I actually threw it, but I threw it short thinking that I didn't want to actually overthrow him. But once I threw it and I seen it short and I seen where it was, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, he'll just catch it, bring it down, and then go back up. But once he caught it and he was already turned backwards, I was like, oh, is he really going to dunk this? So once I seen him, like, you know, once I seen him dunk it, I was like, oh, okay. This is crazy. Like, from that point on, once that ball went through the net and he dunked it, I couldn't hear nothing for at least a good 2-3 minutes. And if anybody go back and look, I was so in the interchange because for some reason we never got a break in between, and it was just like they kept trying to attack the press, and they kept trying to attack the press, and we was either forcing like fast shots and they were missing, or we was getting turnovers. So it was never a point that I could like slow down, but everybody kept running. So then I was like, okay, so you got the ball, you got to keep running and keep up the pace. Everybody else is running through the lanes getting shots, so you just got to keep feeding them, keep feeding them. And I was just like, once he made that and they finally called a timeout, I was like, oh, thank you goodness. Can I get a break right now?
Hey, Doc, it was kind of like one of those moments, man, like in the Final Four run with Kansas, right? And, you know, it's almost like Bill Self just didn't have enough timeouts, man. No matter how many he called, it didn't matter. And it was – I can't remember who the coach was for Ole Miss, whether it was Rob Evans or Coach Barnes. But, man, it was nothing that was going to stop
what
was about to happen that night.
No, I was like, it just started from the tip. Like, from tip off, it was just like back to back, like steal three, tip, dunk, layup, tip, steal three. I was like, oh, man. Yeah, that was.
And you're part of a special era of Auburn basketball. And we certainly, it's great to catch up with you today. Very grateful that you're feeling better, that you're doing better physically. And just want to say thank you for what you've done for Auburn, for what you continue to do. So thank you very much, Doc. And War Eagle.
War Eagle. And thank you, guys.
War Eagle, Doc, man. Love and respect, man. Tell your family hello for me.
I will do. Love you, bro.
For Doc Robinson, Wes Flanagan, and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.